Well, good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning, especially at our adjusted time of 9 a.m. I know it was earlier for us than it normally is. So good to see everyone out this morning. I want to welcome those visiting us on our Facebook live stream. Hopefully you've noticed a difference in the audio and visual quality. This morning's lesson is entitled, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, taking our text from Romans 8, 29 to 30. I'm going to invite you to turn your Bibles over there as we're really going to begin in verse 28 in just a few minutes. Romans 8, 28 through 30 is where we're going to be beginning at. I want to thank Brother Rich for the song selection he led us in singing in, especially the last song, Clay in the Potter's Hand. And the song of the invitation is going to be, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. We're going to be looking at the stanzas to that particular hymn as we go through this morning's lesson. But I want you to be thinking about patterns versus molds. A pattern or an example or a formula is designed to be followed to produce a desired product. However, as we all know, if you've ever looked at a recipe which would qualify as a pattern or a formula, they can be altered to fit the need. And so based on who is the one following that pattern or recipe, it can be altered. And it might not be exactly what the author intended, but you might still say, that was great. Depending on whether it was a tailor pattern or whether it was a food pattern, a recipe, it could be tailored to match what you have on hand. It could be tailored to match your taste, your desires. I know when Becky follows a recipe, if it calls for cumin, she's not using it. She uses something different. So there is a substitute that is offered. But molds are different. Molds are used to conform a substance into the desired image or product. And I would love to have ice trays that looked like this. I had them as a kid growing up, and then later when I had my own apartment, it was one of the first things I bought was the bat symbol ice trays. Why? Because you could put water in it, and when you poured it into the ice bucket, it was ice shaped like a bat. It couldn't get any better as a young adult. Molds cause something to change their appearance to look like the mold. That is what is under consideration when we talk about Romans chapter 8. Not a pattern, not a formula, but a mold. Now, we do look at Jesus as our example. And in that case, there is a pattern and formula set out for us. But when we're talking about conforming to the image of the Son, it's not just a recipe. It's not something that we can tailor make. It is a mold that we are to fit. Our lives are to conform to the image of Christ in order to fit the mold. Galatians 3:27 tells us we're baptized into Christ. I like to think in the context of a mold, we're poured into that mold, and it says we clothe ourselves with Christ. We look like Him. We're poured into that mold, and we look like Him. That's what Galatians 3:27 is talking about. We're baptized into Christ. We clothe ourselves with Christ. We ought to look like Him. So turn over to Romans 8, and we're going to begin reading in verses 28 to 30. And what we're going to find as we read this passage is that to be justified and glorified, we must be conformed to His image. That is, we must fit that mold. So it says in Romans 8, 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He'd be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. Now, a lot of people get hung up on the words here of predestined or predetermined or according to His foreknowledge, those He foreknew. There are those that are going to teach that there is only a select few, 144,000, some religions out there teach. Others teach that God is going to drag people kicking and screaming into heaven whether they wanted to go or not because they were just predestined that way. That's not what this passage is talking about. Notice what it's talking about. Those whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. Who are those who are conformed to His Son? Again, go back to Galatians 3:27. Those who were baptized into Him and clothed themselves with Him. It's not that he's going to drag anybody to heaven kicking and screaming, whether they want to go or not. It is those who have been baptized into Christ, have poured themselves into the mold to conform to the image of the Son. So the mold was predetermined, and that is the Son. The mold was predestined, the Son. But it's up to us to fit into that mold if we want to be justified and if we want to be glorified. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1 and Ephesians 5, 1 to 2 tell us we are to imitate Christ, we are to imitate God and walk in love. When we look up the word conform, and I'm looking it up in Vine to tell us what this Greek word for conform means. The Greek word conform from Romans 8:29, Vine says it signifies having the same form as another. Also, along with the ice trays that I bought that looked like a bat, I also bought these when I was a young adult. Because my freezer was not complete until it looked like the Justice League. But it's a great visual reminder of what conform means. It's something as simple as an ice tray reminds us what our lives are to be like for Christ. Vine says conform means having the same form as another. And we simply see that with an ice tray. And there are other molds that are used, the brick mold or other types of molds that are used to, with molten metal to get the image or the product that you are desiring. But just having fun with water, we can see what conforming to an image means. God used the imagery of a potter in clay to illustrate man being molded into what God intended. And I have Isaiah 64, 8 here, but we're going to read that passage in just a little bit. So you can go ahead and begin turning there if you like, but we're not going to read it right at this time. At this point in time, what I want you to do is turn your attention to the hymn we're about to sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. It was written by Adelaide Addison Pollard, who lived from 1862 to 1934. The published date is 1907. However, as you're going to see, she actually wrote it quite a bit earlier than that. She was born into a Presbyterian family on November 27, 1862. She was a talented writer of both prose and poetry. She produced many religious articles and hymns. In fact, she produced so many, no one really knows how many hymns and poetry that she produced or is credited with, because she rarely signed them, and when she did, she used the initials AAP for the most part. So she didn't always put her name to her work, so it's very hard to determine which ones are hers. Despite being sickly, she traveled all over speaking on the importance of Bible teaching. After becoming discouraged at a failed trip to Africa, she attended a prayer meeting, and there she heard someone say, "It's all right, Lord. It doesn't matter what you bring into our lives. Just have your own way with us." Thinking about those words on her way home, she put the hymn on paper before retiring that night in 1902. 5 years later, it was published as a hymn in 1907 with the tune Adelaide by George Cole Stebbins, who lived until 1945. So the hymn came about from her being discouraged, her thinking about what a failure her trip was, and then hearing the words, "Just have your own way with us." And she took that phrase and she wrote the words to the hymn that we'll be singing in just a little bit. But I'm going to show us how scriptural this hymn is in the words that she chose to write down as an encouragement for others. But some people want to fit God into the mold of their lives. But God says our lives must fit the mold of His Son. And so as we go through this morning, I want you to be thinking of the clay and the potter. Think of the potter that he or she decides what the clay looks like, right? Any potter. When they determine whether it's the child going to make a cigarette dish for their parent who doesn't even smoke in class just to get by through the class, or whatever it is, whatever the ceramic or clay, someone designs that. And they make a mold that they want that to look like. Right? There's an image there that they have in mind. So many people try to fit God into the mold of their own image. And that's not how it works. God says fit the mold of His Son. God is the potter. Man is the clay. In just a minute we're going to be singing stanza 1. Where we are told to realize that God is the one in control. That He is the potter and we are the clay. It says, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. As we already looked at in Romans chapter 8, 29, we must be molded by the Lord. God is the potter. We are the clay. I like also Romans 9, 20 through 21. It says, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? Here it's telling us, Paul is just reminding his audience, you don't get the right to question God, to answer back to God, why am I like this? Why am I going through these tribulations? Why am I going through these sorrows? Why am I made like this? He says, the thing made by the potter doesn't get to answer back because it's at the whim of the potter, right? Jeremiah 18, 3 through 4. Just as in this story with Jeremiah, where God takes him to the potter's house so he can see the potter's vessel, he sees the potter getting a defective artifact or this defective piece of pottery, and he slams it to the ground and starts over. Jeremiah's message then to Judah is that they were that defective pot. They needed to be broken and reformed by the master potter. Sometimes in our lives, we need to see ourselves as that defective pot. We need to be broken and reformed. We've gone outside that mold, and we need to come back and reconform to the life of Christ. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 18, 3 through 4, then I went down to the potter's house. And this is, God had told him to do that in previous verses. And there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. The application here with Jeremiah is this was Judah, the nation of Israel that remained after Assyria swept the northern 10 tribes away. God is saying that through Babylon, he's going to shatter the nation and remold it. And when they came back from exile, they looked quite a bit different for a time. They looked different. They behaved differently. They were very conscientious of, let us not do what our forefathers did. Right? This was Jeremiah's point. They became defective. They were going to be shattered and they were going to be remolded. Sometimes in our lives, we don't like the shattering. We don't like the being broken. But what a pleasant experience it is when God has reshaped us. When we come back to that mold and the peace that we find in Christ. Isaiah 64 and verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are potter. And all of us are the work of your hand. Isaiah, here the prophet, recognized there's nothing we can do. We can't fight back against God. He says, you are not only our Father, but you're the potter. And we are the clay in your hands. All of us are the work of your hand. This hymn reminds us of that concept, that we are that clay and that he is the potter. And it reminds us that we're not the ones in control, that he is in control. When we say, have thine own way, Lord, or have your own way, we're saying, I'm not the one in control. I have to give it to you. I have to submit to you. God sent his son to show how men in a world corrupted by sin and convulsing with its consequences could be what God wanted them to be. And we read that in Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Romans 6, 3 through 16 tells us that we're going to be slaves to something. We're going to be slaves to whatever we obey. We are their slaves to sin. And he says he thanks God that the Roman saints no longer slaves of sin, but became slaves to righteousness. So to conform to the sin, or to conform to the Son of God then, to Jesus Christ, we must have the attitude, have thine own way, Lord, and become slaves of righteousness. And becoming God's person cannot be achieved by psychology. It cannot be achieved by philosophy or human theology. We talked about a lot of this stuff last week when we talked about a steady diet of worldly things. These things will not make you conform to the Son. These things will not make you fit the mold. These things will make you fit a mold, but not God's mold. We will only fit God's mold by conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 tells us he is the predetermined mold. that we must conform our lives to. So we must submit to God and be washed from sin. Stanza 2 of the hymn we're about to sing says, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, master today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow." When I read the words to this stanza 2 of the hymn, I'm reminded of Psalm 139, 23 through 24. This tells us it's a psalm of David, and David writes through the Spirit saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Our prayers, like David's, should be for God to search our hearts. And after he has searched us, we should ask him to forgive us. The first step in our remolding is to be washed as white as snow. Isaiah 1, 18 to 20 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you'll eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. Truly, by the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Or truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah here is talking to people during the days of Hezekiah and other kings before and after him, to the nation of Judah. It is during Hezekiah's days that Israel is swept away by Assyria. Judah watches that happen. And here God, through Isaiah, is telling him to come after God, to come back to him. He says, "Your sins are as crimson, they're as scarlet. I'll make them as white as snow. I'll make them like wool." But what did they have to do? "If you consent and obey." God says, "You have to be shattered. Your will must be broken and you submit to me. You must consent and obey." He says, "But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword." It is through the mouth of Isaiah that the prophecy of the terrors that would come upon Judah by the nation of Babylon would be revealed. And it's by the mouth of God, through the prophet Isaiah, that that prophecy would take place in about 130 to 140 years later. Because they did rebel, and they did not consent and obey. But when we look at these passages and make the application that just as Israel needed to repent and be remolded by God, when we feel outside that mold, when we step outside those bounds, perhaps giving in to sin, we need to be remolded. We need to be recommitted to God. So the first step is to be remolding, to be washed as white as snow. In Mark 16, 16, Acts 22, 16, 1 Corinthians 6, 11, and Revelation 7, 14 tells us to be forgiven of sins, one must obey the gospel through the waters of baptism to have their sins washed away. That's the first step. But then once we take that step, that's just the beginning. Then comes the hard work of growing and maturing in Christ. And so Romans 12, 1 to 2 tells us transformation happens by the renewal of one's mind. We spent some time last week talking about that concept. And we need to remember Jesus' words in Matthew 15, 7 and 9. Here he's talking to the religious leaders of his day, and he tells them that rules and rituals without a change of heart will not make them obedient to God. And we need to take that application and say, rules and rituals without a change of heart will not produce a Christ-like life. We can't just go through the motions and expect us to look like the image. It takes work. It takes work, daily work, to stay within that mold. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, tells us we must humbly bow before him in complete submission to his will. It says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus as Lord. And it's talking about a day that is yet to come, that judgment day. And so what I like to say when I teach from Philippians 2 and verse 10 is we will either in this life willingly bow the knee, or we will be forced to our knees as conquered enemies. We either bow the knee, recognizing him as Father and the Potter, or we will be forced to our knees as a conquered enemy. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus as Lord. It'll either come easily because we spend our lives doing that, or it will come out as a conquered enemy of the Son. So many people want to conform God's word into their mold, into their own image, and transform it to what's convenient and comfortable to them. And we don't have that right. We don't get to choose and pick and say, this is what I think God ought to look like. This is what I think Jesus ought to look like. This is what I think worship to him ought to look like. And yet the religious world is filled with people who do just that. We have to conform to his image, not the other way around. The child of God will transform his or her life by the renewing of their mind. That is our thoughts, Romans 12, 1 to 2. And others ought to see Christ living in us. Stanza 4 says we must live so that others will see Christ in us. It says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold on my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always, living in me. When we sing the words to this hymn, we need to mean it. We need to sing it through our mind, our understanding, and through our spirit. That what we're saying is absolutely true. Hold on my being. Absolute sway. That means we recognize that he is the potter and that we are the clay. Colossians 3:15 tells us Christ wants to hold over our being absolute sway or rule in our hearts. In fact, that passage says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, he wants us to be filled with the influence of his spirit. It says, be filled with the spirit in this passage. Galatians 2:20. The only way that'll happen is if we have the attitude Paul did. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul says, I'm fitting the mold without actually saying I'm fitting the mold. He says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Why? Because he crucified that old self. He put away that old will, that old stubbornness, that old self filled with sin. He said, I crucified that guy as no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. That means Christ is the ruler of my heart. Christ dictates my actions, my priorities, my judgments, and the decisions that I make. Why? Because he loved me and gave himself up for me. That's the attitude every Christian ought to have. Back in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. This is the apostolic example that we need to have in our lives. To follow Paul in this. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light shine in such a way that men see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In Colossians 3:10-11, I actually have verses 9 through 11 on the slide. To fit the mold, first, we must have the right relationship with God's Son. It says, do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Do you see the correlation there between the new self and the mold? Remember what Romans 8 said, predestined, foreknew, the image of the Son, right? He says, put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image. What are we supposed to conform to? The image of the Son. Here it tells us, according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man. But Christ is all and in all. He says, when you fit the mold, it doesn't matter your background. You become Christ-like, and that's what's important. You put to death that old self, all its evil practices, you put it to death, you lay it aside, and you put on that new self. That is the new self that fits that mold. It is in the image of the Son, the one that created him. Romans chapter 6, 1-7, and Galatians 3, 27-28. Tells us that we must first get into Christ. Obedience to the gospel, that's baptism. Colossians 1:27 tells us he must be in us. And 1 Peter 2:21 does tell us that Jesus' life is an example and pattern for us. That we are to follow in his footsteps. But more than just a pattern or a formula to be followed, Because when you start talking about pattern or formula, people start thinking, I follow patterns about 50% of the time. I add this and I add that. It's a mold that we fit into. The pattern or the example to follow can only be accomplished if we first fit the mold. Then the pattern and the example come easy. Then we can follow in his footsteps. If we are in Christ, others around us will see Christ in us. That's the correlation. That's what Paul was saying there in Galatians 2 and verse 20. If we're in Christ, he's in us. And people will see that change in our lives. I want to close by reading Philippians 3, 20 through 21. Romans 8, 28 through 30 tells us that if we conform to the image of the Son, if we fit that mold, we will be justified and we will be glorified. What awaits us is to be conformed to the body of his glory. That is the glory that is revealed. Philippians 3, 20 through 21 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." What awaits us is to be conformed to the body of his glory. You need to conform your lives here on earth so that God will conform you into the body of his glory. If we fit the mold now, and if we think that's a tough thing to do, think of the reward that makes it worth it. Whatever it takes to fit our life into that mold. He says at the end, God will conform you to a new body in heaven. In fact, 1 John 3, 1-3 says, "We'll see him as he is because we will be like him." We can only be like him if we're like him now. We conform to his image. We fit the mold so that one day we will see him as he is face to face. And it tells us we'll be like him. Too many people spend their whole lives pursuing their own goals, doing what they want to do, rather than taking time to seek what God would have them do. And there is a mold that God would have us to fit. The life of a saint must be one of complete submission to the will of God, recognizing the potter and clay relationship to God. That we don't get to say to the potter, "Stop, I want to be this way. Why'd you do that?" God determines the mold, and we fit it if we want the reward. This attitude of submission is well exemplified by the plea that we're about to sing in this hymn. "Have thine own way, Lord." And as we sing it, do we mean it? Do we live it? Do we put it into practice? That we say, "Have o'er my being absolute sway." We must conform to his image now if we want to be conformed to his glory for all eternity. Romans 8:29 and Philippians 3:21. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, now is your chance to become one, to fit that mold, to repent of your sins, to be baptized into his name so you might clothe yourself with him, having your sins completely washed away, going from crimson and scarlet to white and wool. If you are here this morning as a Christian, not living the way that you should, now's the time to also take stock and recognize the barrier between you and your God and to remove it. If you're not a Christian, you can have that chance this morning through the waters of baptism. If you are a Christian that needs repentance, or needs to repent and be forgiven, you can have but ask and we'll say a prayer on your behalf. Whatever your request, let it be known now while together we stand and while we sing.